All right, let us bring in the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants. He is the professor. He's an icon of San Francisco Giants baseball, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Rabbi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Last night, just to see, 41,934 in the park last night, the towels. And it was 10, 12, and 14, and even part of 16, I hate to say it, all over again. And it felt good. It really felt good.
Yeah, it really did. It was a great crowd. It's almost, they've been waiting, you know, how many years it's been for this moment. We had a great crowd the last weekend of the season. But last night I thought the crowd was as energetic and into it as much as any playoff or World Series game that we played. So, and you know what? They saw a good product. Webby was unbelievable. We hit the homers, and we played the way we have all year. So a great night all around.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, in my open I said, look, we've seen this game 107 times. You guys won. And it really wasn't much different than a game in July or in May. Great starting pitching, the homers, as you say. The defense had a couple of bobbles, but the magic double play. And you played this game before, and I guess my point is just keep playing your game.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was a typical game that we played this year. You know, they kept me out of it at third base, the four home runs. All I had to do was worry about the handshakes. And as we said, we got great pitching. You know, a couple errors didn't hurt us, and thank goodness we got a big double play after one of them, and they weren't able to take advantage of that. But that happens. You know, you're going to have those moments, and, you know, Webb picked us up, no question about it.
Well, let's be a professor here for just a minute, and let's talk about Logan Webb on the ground ball that sort of slipped out of his hand. You see a lot of plays like that because hitters will top the ball. They'll be off balance. You'll see a lot of swinging bunts down the third baseline, first baseline. What did Logan Webb do on that play?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you don't get many balls like that as a pitcher, and the anxiety in his mind getting to the ball and getting it to the first baseman quickly where the guy doesn't beat it out. It's not a play they have a lot of reps on. So I think the anxiety creates the error. If he had all the time in the world, he'd go over there, he'd scoop it up with two hands and then, you know, make the throw to first base. But because of, you know, how far to the line he had to go and he felt like he had to rush the play, he had to try to pick it up one-handed and then throw it to first base, and he just didn't pick it up cleanly. So, you know, the first baseman, you know, there's not much they can do on that play other than try to give him a lane to throw the ball. And then obviously once he throws the ball to first, if he does, you always want to look at the review to make sure the runner wasn't running in, you know, outside the box where the ball may hit him. So it's a difficult play for a pitcher.
Yeah, it looked like Pollock was possibly on the line or over the line, so that was part of it. But, you know, as a first baseman, what I was taught, I remember, always give a target. And you very rarely see the first baseman give a target to the pitcher. I guess the pitcher knows just throw it to the outside so you don't have a Max Muncy or a, you know, White from the Expos. I forget. Remember, he got his Rondell White. Got that elbow in the way. So that's a dangerous play.
Yeah, no, it can be. And you're right. You know, the first baseman on that play, they should, you know, get their right foot on the bag and, their left foot on the bag and, you know, kind of have the other foot lined up towards second base. So the throwing lane is on the inside of the field. And you see it with the catcher, you know, a first baseman can't stay in the base and stretch towards home plate. Like when a catcher throws a ball mm-hmm. and it's real close to that foul line, they need to get a lane right alongside first base on the inside of the field. And then if the ball's thrown to them and they feel like they could stretch forward towards home a little to get it, to beat the runner, they can do it. But the throwing lane is very, very important to give the catcher a lane to throw it. And when the pitcher's that close to you, you probably should do the same thing and just be ready to move in any direction because you don't know where that ball is going to go when the pitcher throws it.
Boy, dicey play. Hey, Flores had a couple of nice plays last night. You know, he does the hand grenade thing. He smothers the ball. But he had a tough throw to second base where he had to throw over the runner to get it to Crawford. He made a very nice play on that.
Yeah, he did. You know, and I couldn't see from my angle. You typically catch the ball. You want them to fire at the second base. So you have a chance for the double play. But if that runner is in your line, you got two options. One, to throw it over him. And if you have time, you can clear the runner, maybe step to the inside and then fire the ball to Craw and make sure that one out. And he chose the first way, which he just threw it over the runner and recorded the out. And, you know, really a play that really saved the day was on the diving stop, right? I mean, the stop alone, we had the first baseman, off the base at first to take away the hole a little bit more. And because he wasn't playing right on the bag because they didn't have a fast runner, when that ball was smoked, he dove and he was well off the line. If he stays on the bag, you know, trying to pick the guy, the runner off, that ball's into right field and it's a first and third situation. So it was a big play in the game.
Good point. Very good point. You know, it's fun. Obviously, it's a playoff game. As I said, you got the atmosphere. And then you get out there, and there's Krug and Kipe throwing out the first pitch. And the fans loved it. I think anyone who listens to Giant baseball for so many years loves these guys. It was great to see him out there. How did you feel about it?
Well, I felt the same way. I got a little emotional. I didn't know they were coming down to throw out the first pitch. And, of course, we haven't seen these guys on a regular basis for 2 years. You know, first it was the COVID, and so a lot of the broadcasters aren't on the field anymore. And so it's been a long time since we've seen those two guys down on the field together. And then, of course, with what Kipe is going through, we were just so happy to see him. And I thought it was a tremendous moment of the evening. It was perfect. I don't know who made that call to have them down there throwing out the first pitch. But it meant a lot to me to be able to shake their hand and watch them do that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was Mario, Larry Bear, Stacy Slaughter, that crowd. They get it, and they do this thing. How about Jerry Rice and Steve Young being there? How do you like that?
Yeah, no, that's fun. I mean, Bay Area icons, right? I mean, we had the best of the best was out here last night. You had them, too. You had Barry was out here, and then Chris Mullen was out here. And, of course, I saw E40. They flashed up on the board, who's a big, big sports fan in the Bay Area. But, you know, Jerry Rice and Steve Young, it doesn't get any better than that, right? I mean, two tremendous athletes, and we're lucky that we got to watch them here in the Bay Area for so long.
Well, Hall of Famers, and many say Rice the best ever to play that position.
Yeah.
Well, 2010, again, Logan Webb goes out there. He does a Lincecum against Atlanta. He does the Bumgarner against the Mets and that kind of game. It's 2010, I keep thinking 2010, I felt it early in the season, and I feel it now, that this team, for some reason, is that combination of parts, and who knew what was going to happen, and this 2010 is all over it.
Yeah, you know, it does feel a lot like that, especially last night's game, because we knew in 2010, if we could score some runs, that we'd have a good chance to win, because our pitching was so dominant. And our pitching's been at the top of the league this year, right? And Webby jerked up a game like you had mentioned, Lincecum and Kane and guys like that. And we hit the home runs. It brings you back to Cody Ross against Halladay in Philadelphia, you know, getting those big home runs. And, you know, it really did us a lot of good to see Buster in the first inning on a 3-0 count. You know, a lot of guys won't even swing 3-0, but he was ready for the moment. Cap turned him loose. And they hit a home run and give us two runs early in the game to let Webby even be more comfortable to attack a great hitting Dodger team was a big moment in the game. So, you know, you're right. A lot of similarities to 2010.
All right. So, Craw, and I've said this for a couple of months. I'll say it again. I think it's a travesty that he is not up in the 1-2-3 of this MVP race for the best team in the National League and arguably the best in baseball. And last night he hit the home run. I think you smiled when he went past you on the handshake.
Yeah, I did. I had a big smile on my face when he hit it, you know, because of who he is, what we've been through. And here he is continuing to have big moments in playoff games for this organization. And I had the same smile when Buster hit his in the first inning. You know, the other side of that is, you know, hey, we got the lead. We got another run. And you never have enough runs against the Dodgers because they get very explosive. So, you know, great moment for me, having been with these guys so long and watching them have the nights that they had last night.
How about the double play? Everyone, Susan Slusser wrote about it, Houdini, the magic act, and former Giants were tweeting in, and Panic even sent a text this morning. What about the double play with LaStella? Where did that come from?
Well, that's awesome. That's great to hear that Joe Panic, you know, set something in because you know, I only have one word for it, and it's a word that Craw uses all the time when something good happens or he makes a great play in it, and that is sick. It was a sick play, right? So it's a big moment. It's a risky play. When you execute it, it's a tremendous play and an outstanding moment, and they did it flawlessly. You know, Tommy with flipping the ball out of his glove, just like Panic did to Craw in that World Series game. And then Craw, you know, taking not an easy flip, had a stutter step, reach up high, catch the ball, touch the bag, and make a perfect throw and get something on it, and he did. So I think everybody in the dugout went nuts when they pulled that play off.
He does that walk across the bag better than anybody.
Yeah, that's his signature move. You know, early in his career, I was trying to get that out of him. You know, I was trying to set your feet, catch it, you know, and throw that ball as hard as you can. But he's so good at so many things that he does, and he uses it a lot, and he needs it. He needed it on that play. You don't have time to set your feet. The other time he uses it where you need it is when you come flying, you're playing a guy dead pull at shortstop, and you're way over and almost a right-handed shift, and he hits the ball to second baseman. You have to be in a dead sprint to get to second base. You don't have time to slow your feet down, so you got to run across that bag and kick it the way he does and throw it on the run. And that's one of his signature moves, no doubt about it, and I love watching it.
Yeah, what a year for him. What a year for him. All right, third base coach Ron Wotus is with us, the professor. Doval. And again, you know, you don't want to get too far excited about this, but, you know, Mariano Rivera would come in and it was three pitches, good night. This guy is a little bit like that, although he doesn't have the cutter. Doval, so far, whoa, it looks like a guy, and again, you're in the playoffs. You want those aces to stand up, and I think Logan Webb did last night. This guy continues to do it.
Yeah, he really has. And I think, you know, everybody in our dugout, certainly Cap and the pitching guys, have total confidence in throwing him into any moment. You know, and he hasn't had a lot of big leverage moments throughout the season. I mean, it was really the last month of the season we started testing him in these situations. And I think you remember seeing John Paul, our assistant pitching coach, taking his pulse one day after his first high leverage situation and checking his pulse, and he barely had a heartbeat. So, you know, those are all things that go into the evaluation. We know the stuff is tremendous. You mentioned Rivera. And, you know, the thing that's impressive to me is his command. You know, he said he don't throw the cover, but he's got a wipeout slider. He throws 100, and he commands both pitches. I mean, he'll throw a slider in a 2-1 count. So that's impressive. He's going to be extremely hard to hit, and hopefully he can continue to do that for us, because what a great, not a surprise, we knew he had the stuff, but no one expected him to be handling his moments as quickly as he has.
And Cueto's a big part of his success, isn't he?
Well, you know, Johnny, you know, not only what he does on the field, but he's the guy they all look up to, the Latins. He's been there. He's done it. Has so much experience. He helps out the younger guys. And I know Johnny has spoken to Duvall many, many times. And it's nice to have the leadership, you know, from one of his countrymen that he can lean on. And, you know, that's what happens in the big leagues. You have coaches, but players talk to each other. And when you have the veterans helping the young guys like that, you know, it goes a long way for the young player when they hear Johnny Cueto give him a suggestion.
Yeah, boy, very good. Cueto is not on the roster, but obviously still has a big part in it.
Yeah.
Well, I talk about this five-game series, and I learned so much from you and just watching it in 2010 and prior five-game series with Art Howe and the A's in the early 2000s. This five-game series, well, you win one and you feel like you're on top of the world. You lose one and you go, oh, my God. But this literally is a series that changes day to day. You're never in it. You're never out of it. And you just have to play the games and see where it goes.
That's so true, Marty. You've been hanging around some great baseball people. You've seen it. You've lived it yourself. You listen to baseball people talk about it. And it's so true because the momentum switches like crazy. You just look at the 2002 World Series for us. We went into Anaheim. We had a two-game lead. We had the lead in the seventh in Anaheim and to win the World Series. We couldn't close that out. And then you go into in game seven, all the momentum went over to the Angels, that they were at home, and either team could have won it with one win. And, you know, they definitely had the momentum. I felt that when the game started and when they scored some runs. So, yep, we got to take it one at a time, like the old cliches. Big win for us. You want to win at home, you know, but really we need to try to get this game tonight to put us a little better into the driver's seat, because, you know, if the Dodgers come out of here with a split, I'm sure they'll be happy with that going home. But to your point, even with a 2-0 lead, like Cincinnati had in us and back in the division a few years back, it's not over till it's over.
Yeah, until this last out is made in the five-game series, anything can happen, and it truly can. I mean, it's an exciting part of baseball. I like the five-game series. The wild card game was nuts with St. Louis and the Dodgers, and you know, you win 106, you shouldn't be playing one game, but I know that's going to change. But this thing, I like the five-game series. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. I like it as well. You know, it's a seven-game series can feel like it's 2 weeks. a one-game wild card can feel like it's a 1 hour. You know, the whole season boils down to 1 hour. But a five games is a, you know, it's a good qualification for how good the clubs are and who's going to move on. You have to win three games. That's kind of what you play during the season. It's a three-game set. So whoever wins three games gets to move on, and it just feels right. So two more wins, and we'll be feeling real good.
Well, when I grew up, I'd read these magazines, and big games, they trace the player, the manager, some, and the coach, what he did that day coming to the ballpark and getting ready for the big game. I'm going to ask you this. What was it like yesterday for you getting ready, coming to the park? It's Giants-Dodgers. They played in 51 and 62, and you've seen this confrontation a billion times. But what was it like for you yesterday coming to the park with this type of these stakes?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a lot more relaxed than it usually is, because and probably the most, the number one reason for that is we had 4 days off. You know, we've never had this much time to prepare for the first round of the playoffs. And so we got a lot of our work done in those four off days with the three workouts. So I got to enjoy it a little bit more. My family's in town from Connecticut, my brother and my sister and her boyfriend. And so I got to spend some time with the family. I actually got to take the dog to the park in the morning so we could run him so he wasn't bothering everybody in the house. And so we do that, and then you drive to the park, and I pretty much had all my work done. And, you know, when you're driving across the Bay Bridge and you see the stadium, you know, a lot of thoughts go through your head. It certainly does for me, this being my last season coaching third base. A lot of memories, a lot of things go through your head, and just happy to be back in the playoffs and really looking forward to the rest of this run, because this is what you play for. You know, everybody else is at home, and you feel special when you're still playing in October.
How much work do you have to do when you get to the park? In other words, do you have to sit down with Crawford? Do you have to look at tape at the outfielders and see if there's anything different? What kind of work do you have to do when you get there?
Well, you know, my biggest responsibilities right now are obviously coaching third. So I go through all the arms, you know, make sure I know the roster. But the arms is the number one thing, how the guys are throwing, how they've been recently, you know, who's injured. You know, we certainly have meetings to go over the whole roster, because heaven forbid that Cap would get run, I'd be thrown right into the, you know, the head chair there. So I got to know what the heck is going on with everything. So I do a little background on that. But my main concern are the outfield play, the signs with the players. You know, I touch some guys up on their base running, obviously, because, you know, when they get on the bases, I have an influence there. So we talk about certain pitchers. And everybody watches a lot of video, Marty. I mean, you can sit there and watch the starting pitcher. You can watch the relievers. You can watch their tendencies. you know, anything that you can pick up to give you an edge on the bases or at the plate, we want to find it. So you really go through everything in the fine-tooth comb. And when you're playing the same team, you know, for 5 days, you get to focus on them for a longer period. So you just don't, you know, prepare one day and it's over. You're chipping away, trying to find an edge somewhere, somehow, and that's pretty much what we do.
Mm. Well, what do you think about the game today with Gausman, who to me is ace number two? If he's not 1A, he's certainly right behind Webb for what he's accomplished. And then you got the younger kid, Urias, who's been around, seems like he's been around 10 years. He must have been 12 years old when he got to the big leagues. But he's still a youngster, 24, 25 years old. What do you see in this game today? How do you like it?
Well, I like it with the same result as yesterday, first and foremost. But to your point, another great matchup. It's gonna come down to the performance on the field. I mean, Urias, he can really pitch. I think he won 20 games. Gausman has been our ace the last 2 years. Expect good things out of him. So, you know, let's just hope everybody can rise to the occasion. We can limit the mistakes and take advantage, like we did last night. We get some balls to hit, either hit the homers or string an inning together to push across some runs, because both these clubs are so evenly matched and so good, it's really hard to predict anything other than, you know, it's going to be a dogfight. So we got to be ready to play, and I know we will be ready to play, and looking forward to the energy from our home crowd again like we had last night. Should be a lot of fun tonight.
Mm. Yaz is hitting the ball. Maybe the numbers aren't there. Wade not really hitting the ball. These are, you know, two new guys to the playoffs. It'd be nice to see both of them break out. Now, they won't be starting tonight because of the lefty business, but it'd be nice to see them get a couple of hits.
Yeah, it really would. I mean, you know, Yaz is played a long time. He's a true professional. He's been in the big leagues now his second year. But when you're in the minor leagues as long as him, you have your ups and downs, and you know how to deal with, you know, streaks where you're not swinging or the way you want to. But I'm confident he's going to be fine. He hit one ball down the line yesterday that was just inches from being a double. And every time he's up there, I feel like he's got a chance to hit one in the water. You know, Wade sure wasn't as hot. You know, he kind of cooled off at the end of the season. You know, he's a younger player, and I don't think he's affected by pressure at all. I mean, this kid is a heck of a player. He's shown great things. I'd like to see him maybe get a hit, and then, you know, maybe he can relax a little bit, because, you know, all of us, if you're not getting hits, you press a little bit, and it would maybe take a little pressure off of him to maybe get a bloop in there. And you know, but he can bust out any moment. What he's done for us to get to this point, he's still taking his good rips up there. So hopefully he can get on the board and can get rolling like he did during the regular season.
Well, look at Bryant yesterday, and he had struggled a little bit, and he's a pro. He's been there before, and 3-for-3 and a big home run for him.
You're right. Look, I mean, we make a lot. I mean, obviously, if a guy's 0-for, you know, 10, but it's just the game, you know, and nobody's consistent the whole year on with their batting average. It goes up and down, and when you face good pitching like you do in the playoffs, it's not going to be easy. So, you know, pitchers got to make mistakes. You got to get the hit when you get a pitch that you can handle. And so that's the game. So I feel good about our guys, and I'm confident even with all of them tonight coming in off the bench, whether it's Wade or Yaz, I feel good about the at-bat they're going to give us.
All right. Well, you got the arm ready for tonight. You may not get all the home runs. You may have to be working tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go heat it up right now. Maybe I can get a stretch, huh, so I can get the windmill going. Maybe with the bases loaded, we get both arms going. That'd be real fun.
All right, very good. Well, you know, it's funny about River Islands, and we talk about it every week that we've been on, and, of course, another great year, and I hope that we'll be talking about the National League Championship Series for the pennant next weekend. But there was a note about River Islands. It said there's a lot of variety in the kind of homes being built in size, style, and price. And it made me think of you guys. You don't want a lot of variety. You want the game you played last night, and that's my point for today.
That's a great point. That's what we want, right?
Yes.
But Marty, if I'm buying a home and I'm living in a community, I want variety. But you're right. To make the analogy to us today, let's keep it the same. Everybody else, go see the variety you can get out at River Islands, because with the, you know, the fall coming in, there's not a better time to be out there.
Yeah, National League ball, well, tight games. American League ball, you're down 5-2 and you win 15-6. How about that?
Isn't that something? I mean, you look at the scores, and the National League is, as you said, tight games. The American League, they seem to be scoring a lot of runs. That's the way the leagues have always been, right? But, you know, the DH had a big part of that, right? They have the extra hitter.
Yeah.
The National League have pitchers hitting. It can flip-flop anytime. But so far, that's the way it's looked.
All right. Well, have a great night tonight. And as I say, hope next Sunday we're talking about the Giants going for the pennant, which I think is going to happen. I'll say it again. This is a good magical year for you. So have a great night tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, Marty, you haven't been wrong yet. So I'm looking forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Well, take care. All right. That is our third base coach, the professor, the icon of San Francisco Giants baseball over 30 years. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5. Bill, Kerry, and I will kick it around next right here on the Sports Leader.